You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 16, Professor Trelawney's Prediction. We talk about death omens in the real world, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Welcome back, everyone, to our 16th edition of the Quidditch Cup. I don't know why I keep saying the number. You just heard me introduce the number just a second ago, but for some reason I feel the need to say the number again.
Keep this saying the number, Michael.
It's the Sweet 16th episode of the Quidditch Cup.
This where is where my dad pays for it and my bar mitzvah. Sweet 16. No, Sweet 16. Do you know? No, never mind. No, apparently nobody watches MTV Sweet 16. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, I did for a long time.
Yeah,
I don't anymore because I don't have cable. Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I actually don't know. There is a show called
Sweet 16.
Yes.
The thing went.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Girl, I know. All right.
Hey guys, let's let Michael ask a question. What do you say?
Okay, Michael, let's go.
Oh my gosh, no.
Okay. In what non-magical sounding way did the accidental magical reversal department employees fix Aunt Marge? I give it to Sarah again.
They deflated her. They like pricked her and deflated her.
You got me with the pricked.
They literally yeah.
They punctured her, is what
okay,
is.
Pricked,
so
punctured,
I'm gonna give you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. That is. You are absolutely correct.
Okay.
I like the words to be exactly the same, but I understand that.
Sorry.
I understand if the meaning is exactly the same, then I have to accept it.
Okay. Thank you. I was like in my head. There's an image of them like. Okay.
Yeah, they just punctured her. That wouldn't work,
that
right?
Turn.
I feel like that wouldn't
totally.
Work.
No, maybe. I don't know.
What are they going to do? Like, where are they going to...
Give her some Tums, some Pepto-Bismol?
Cast a deflating charm. I don't know.
That's true. Why wouldn't they cast a deflating charm?
Because they could just puncture her. But Jai, read a question for us, please.
Okay. Name... Hopefully this is going to be a hard question. If it's not, then I'm going to maybe judge you. Unless this is one of your questions. Name one of the many hippogriff-related books Harry pored over for Buckbeak's appeal.
I got nothing.
Hippogriffs and me. My journey with a hippogriff. Joni loves hippogriffs.
Magical beasts of the 14th century who didn't get their heads chopped off.
A brief history of hippogriffs.
I don't think there are hippogriffs
Handbook
shrugged.
Of Hippogriff Psychology, Study of Hippogriff Brutality, Foul or Foul? Foal or Foul.
We were all wrong, is what we're saying.
That's very clever. Ah, stumped you with
clever.
Another one. That's
you're
another
all stumper.
One.
You stumped me.
That's another one for Bajaya.
Sarah, read a goddamn question.
You guys ready for this one? I feel like I've had enough wine. What is the length of Ron's new wand?
That is very inappropriate, and I will not answer this question. I don't know.
Vijay?
I'm going to say 11 inches.
That is incorrect.
11 and a half. Huh?
Also incorrect.
Oh. Ding. Ding, ding.
Michael.
I think this is correct. I think it's 14 inches.
It is 14 inches. That is correct. Michael knows. Though. Michael knows the length of Ron's wand.
Because he loves it.
I was very interested in the length of
the wand. I'm very interested, party.
Thank you, Ray. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Chapter 16. Professor Trelawney's production.
What?
So, yeah.
The Grimm.
We'll get to it. It's probably the Grimm. So Harry's been like celebrating this Quidditch win, Quidditch, for like a week, and everybody, it's like been a really pretty weather, so they're like lounging and walking, but that's really for a week, because guess what?
What?
The exams are upon them.
Boo.
And everyone, including the Weasley twins, who are taking their owls, are working hard. Percy's on the edge because he's studying for the newts. And so is Hermione. And her exam schedule is ridiculous. She has multiple exams scheduled for the same time.
That seems impossible.
Does that even work?
That's literally impossible.
Yeah. But she's Hermione, you know? And Ron's like, I think you jotted down your schedule wrong. And she's like, what? No, shut up. Go away. So Harry gets a note from Hagrid while they're like squabbling over her exam schedule. And Buckbeak's appeal is set for the 6th, you guys.
I mean, it's an appeal. That's good, I guess.
But the ministry people are coming to the school with the executioner, which is bad news bears.
Wait, they're bringing... The appeal is at the school with an executioner present?
Yeah. They're bringing the executioner to the appeal.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems like not an appeal to me.
Yeah, it seems just like a formality.
It's not good.
Before they hand down the decision.
But it's not even a good formality. It's not even a courtroom.
Something tells me that they don't have due process.
Okay.
So the exams start, and at the Transfiguration final, they have to turn a teapot into a turtle. During a Charms final, they are tested on the cheering charms. Hermione was right.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, man.
I know. Hagrid was too sad to test them and probably so nervous about it. So all they had to do for Magical Creatures final was to keep their flubberworm alive till the end of an hour. In potions, they had to brew a confusing concoction. And eating all the ice cream from Fortescue helped Harry out in the History of Magic exam. Because he was just furiously writing everything Fortescue told him. For the Defense Against the Dark Arts final, Lupin created some kind of obstacle course where the students had to battle all the creatures they learned about that year, including a boggart. And Hermione didn't fare well with the boggart because hers turns into Professor McGonagall, telling her she failed everything. And she's just sobbing out of the trunk.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yikes.
So after their Defense Against the Dark Arts final, they're like talking about it, and they run into Fudge, who is there for Buckbeak's quote unquote appeal. And then they also see two men with Fudge, one of whom has an axe, and Ron is about to be like, that is not fair. But Hermione stops him because Ron's dad works for the ministry, and that does not, you know, is not,
is not going to be trouble. Right for,
yeah. So they split up for their next exam. Hermione goes to Muggle Studies and Harry and Ron go to Divination. Trelawney is seeing all of them separately and their exam is going to be seeing in a crystal ball.
What?
Ron's just like, I just made a bunch of shit up. You should do the same thing. So Harry starts to do the same thing. He's like, oh, I see a dark creature. Oh, it's a hippogriff. And Trelawney says, oh, does he still have his head? And Harry says, yeah. And he's actually flying away. And Trelawney's like, well, I don't think that's going to happen, but nice try anyway. What a dick.
It's like Harry doesn't want to get a good grade. I mean, come on, Harry.
No.
Right. Just I would have been like, yeah, he has no head and there's blood spurting everywhere and it's the worst.
A++.
Everyone is crying.
But then when Harry makes to leave after his exam, he hears a loud, harsh voice that tells him, "It will happen tonight." And
what?
He's like, "What?" and turns around, and it's just Trelawney. She's gone all rigid in her armchair, and she continues to say this:
"The Dark Lord lies alone and friendless, abandoned by his followers. His servant has been chained these 12 years. Tonight, before midnight, the servant will break free and set out to rejoin his master. The Dark Lord will rise again with his servant's aid, greater and more terrible than ever he was. Tonight, before midnight, the servant will set out to join his master."
I'm ready for a movie deal.
Hey, that was really, that was very excellent. I was enthralled.
Thanks. So then she comes back. She comes to again, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I drifted off." And Harry tries to ask her about what she just said. And she just like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I think you need to leave."
I think you need to go.
So he goes back to the Gryffindor Tower where Hermione and Ron are, and he starts to tell them about the weirdness, but he doesn't because Ron and Hermione just got news that Buckbeak lost his appeal and he will be executed at sunset.
No.
I know I messaged you all this, but like I was reading this and I got a lump in my throat and I was so sad.
Aww.
But Harry predicted that he was going to live.
I know. So they go down to see Harry, or they want to go see Hagrid, but Harry can't get in trouble again because Snape is like on his ass. So Hermione's like, "You can't go get the invisibility cloak, but I can." So she does, and Ron's like, "What is happening with you these days? What have you been smoking?"
I like it.
I think this is where Ron's crush starts to form.
Yeah.
So they go to Hagrid's hut under the invisibility cloak after dinner. And Hagrid's like, "Oh, you shouldn't have come," but he seems comforted by their visit. Mm-hmm. He's so sad, you guys. He's like, "Oh, can I make tea?" And he can't do anything. So Hermione starts to help him. And he tells them that Dumbledore tried to appeal the decision on his behalf. But McNair, the executioner, is a Malfoy's old pal.
Perseus.
Ugh, yeah. So Dumbledore is going to come down to be with Hagrid during the execution because he's a very nice person. Hermione's trying to make tea, and in the process, she finds Scabbers in the milk jug. Yeah.
Are you effing kidding me?
No, he's not fucking dead.
What?
See? What?
Yeah.
Crookshanks was unfairly... Crookshanks is framed.
No due process. Innocent until proven guilty.
No due process.
So, he looks terrible. He's thin. He's lost more hair. But right then, Hagrid realizes that the minister, Dumbledore, and the two other people, including McNair, are coming down to his hut. So, the kids have to leave. So, they go out the back door. Buckbeak is super restless. He seems like he knows something was about to happen, and that made me really sad.
Aww.
And then, Hagrid's like, so the kids are like, "No, we want to stay with you, blah, blah." And Hagrid's like, I don't want you to watch this happen. So they make their way towards the castle slowly because they're sad and because moving in under the cloak is kind of hard. But then Scabbers starts freaking out. He's like squeaking and flailing and trying to bite Ron. And Ron's like, "What the fuck are you doing? I'm Ron. You've known me forever." And Ron is like, "Ah!" He's between him yelling at Scabbers and Scabbers making so much noise, they hear a swish and a thud of an axe.
Oh no.
No.
Buckbeak.
And Hermione's like, "I can't believe they've done this."
Hermione's suddenly Jamaican.
I can't believe they've done this. So I didn't. There wasn't any really. I guess McNair was new.
Yeah, what a jerk.
We had never heard of him before.
Right, and the fact that they have executioners.
They have appeals/executions.
Man,
the first real future telling premonition.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I tried to look both of those up on Pottermore, and there wasn't really anything.
Here's a question.
What?
Mine's a dumb short one.
I'm ready.
Will Trelawney go back and let's say Buckbeak does escape? Will Trelawney go back and give Harry a better grade?
Probably not.
Oh,
that seems unfair. It seems unfair because what if he actually predicted the future correctly?
That's true.
She should change the grade.
He can't escape. He just got executed, so Harry...
I'm just saying, what if somebody travels back in time and rescues him?
That's a dumb question, and you should...
All right, sorry. What? Go on.
Wasted my time.
Thing to suggest,
whatever.
Michael. There's magic, so that's magic too far. That is a bridge too far.
My question is... I have two questions.
Okay.
One is kind of dumb. So for the exams, their final exams seem like super easy. Do they only have to do like one spell or charm per exam? Other than defense against the dark arts, like potions, they had to brew. I'll give potions a pass because brewing potions seems like it's an extensive process where you have to like do the right thing. I mean, I tried to brew potions at Pottermore before they overhauled the website. And it's extremely hard. So yeah. I give a pass to potions. But transfiguration, charms, and what's the other? Divination, and that's it.
I think divination is probably okay. But I feel like if you were really good at transfiguration, you could just walk in and be like, swish and flick, and then be like, all right, peace out, I'm done.
Right, and they literally had to turn... You're supposed to be testing a bunch of your knowledge, right? And I guess with transfiguration, but like, you know, there's different kinds of animals and different shapes and different things I feel like would be different qualifications, so especially charms. Like, you were probably learning a bunch of different charms.
Yeah.
I think that they would want to test you, you know, it's like... You don't take a history course and you only get tested on the Battle of Gettysburg. Like, no, you get tested on everything. But, you know?
I can also maybe give a pass to Transfiguration just because how hard it is. So here's one thing that I thought maybe why they only get tested on one thing. Like, maybe these are classes where you start with smaller things all year and the thing that they learn the last... is what they build up to, like maybe they learned other charms throughout the year, and the knowledge of all of that put together is how you do
make that
a
last
cheering charm,
right?
Yeah,
but that still maybe. Would be like, it's just so fast. Like, I mean, obviously for some like English classes I took, there was only a paper due at the end of the semester, but it was like a 20-page paper, 25-page paper. Like, it wasn't, you know, you just do a quick charm. I don't know. This seems, and it also seems like a really high percentage of failure. Like, obviously, like if your tea kettle has like a spout and turtle legs, you're gonna get half points. But like, if you can't do it at all, like that's your whole test. I don't know.
Yeah,
seems crazy.
Yeah, because I think one of the kids, I can't remember if it was Ron or whoever, was like, is it okay if my teapot still had, or my turtle still had the teapot pattern on its shell?
Yes. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fancy-ass turtle.
Fancy-ass turtle.
That'd be kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah.
So my other question was, why can't Trelawney remember her predictions? Like, is that, like, made for her... done for her own good, or is that just a thing that happens with seers that they can't remember their own premonitions?
That's a really good question.
Right, because is she, like, the way they're portraying it is that she's sort of being possessed by some other power, but what is that power? Is it literally just some sort of mysterious power, like, powers that be, the things that animate wands and what have you, or is it part of her? I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah, because they talk about her great-grandmother or whoever it was, who was a real seer, and there was like a lag between the next descendant who was a seer. And I wonder if her grandma also couldn't remember.
Like blanked out.
That sounds like a self-protection, self-preservation thing that would be built into seers, because then if that's like a blanket rule for all seers, then people won't like kidnap seers and be like, what did you predict for on this day? Because they can't like torture them because they won't remember it.
Or it could be in that same vein that they can't try to influence or change the future if they don't know what it is.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, if they predict, like, you know, Buckbeak will die, that kind of thing. Like, what if they wanted to go and change that? I don't know. Maybe it's a way of the future. I mean, obviously, somebody could tell them what they said, but theoretically, what if it's a way that they could protect them from not going forward and fixing or changing?
Let me throw this out there. Wouldn't Trelawney know that, like, real predictions involved you like blanking out like that though? Like, wouldn't if that was what happened with her great grandma or whatever,
right?
Wouldn't they have stories of that?
Yes,
I probably would think so. And I would probably think that if she does know that, she probably thinks that sometimes, or says that she does black out at some points, but they don't coincide with when she actually gives predictions. Because in her mind, she is a fake.
Right. Well, we don't.
She's a fake, but she kind of thinks that she isn't. But you know what I'm saying? Like, she probably, like, is like, oh, yeah, like, I've given predictions, and I'm, like, just lost, like, a track of time. But when she actually gives predictions, she's I hardcore napped.
I think we would see her pretending to do it, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Because she's always like, that. Like, ooh, I've read your fortune in these tea leaves and crap.
Yeah, she's totally like some crazy like medicine show lady when she does it. She's not real subtle. We don't have an indication of whether that actually happens.
Right.
But I how about this? I'm gonna throw this out there, guys. Dramatic irony. No dramatic irony. Okay, that's my other working theory. It's just,
well, we both agree with you about what that is, but some people at home may not know what dramatic irony is. It's so why don't you explain it for them?
It's when the audience knows something that the character doesn't, and it is and also in this situation, the fact that she's a fake but doesn't realize that she's actually not a fake, but we do, is dramatic and ironic.
Man, I think you're right.
When you were saying dramatic irony, you froze up. So I just heard you say, how about this? And then I heard you say, no?
Yeah, same thing with me. You must have just froze on your end.
Well, that is unfortunate, but dramatic.
Oh, man. We're having dramatic irony on this very podcast, maybe.
God.
I had another question.
What if I just blinked out and said it? Who knows? I don't know.
Who knows?
It's impossible to say.
I don't remember. I was, like, thinking about a question when I was doing the recap, and now it has completely escaped my mind. But, yeah, that's the chapter.
Excellent.
That was pretty so good. Sad, though.
It was really great. It was uplifting.
It was very uplifting.
All right, so who wants to hear some real-life death omens so they can be freaked out all the time?
I was just thinking that my hypochondria could really be ramped up a little bit.
for real, earlier today I was gonna do the research on this, and I was like, I'm flying on a plane in like an hour, and I was like, you know what, I'm not. I'm gonna wait.
I don't care if superstition is silly. I'm not taking that chance. It's easy for me to choose not to do it, but if I do it, that is like It's just, right. Just why
would
why
you
bother?
Why would you do it? Why tempt
would you
fate?
Why would you risk that? Yeah.
Can you imagine? I'm gonna call into work tomorrow and be like, "Well, I can't come into work because I heard about death omens last night and I see it outside of my house." So
no, it'd be like I can't come to work because if I open my door and where is it? Hold on, I'm jumping ahead. Fuck, I can't find it. What are those?
No.
Oh, if I open my door and there's a magpie looking directly at me, it means I'm going to die.
Oh,
so.
Shoot.
tell us about death omens, Moikel.
Well, at first I thought I would start with the ones from the book, okay. To see if there was anything related
to
that.
Seems like a good place to start.
Because I wanted to do, I was like, oh, well, she made up this dog thing, so I want to do that. And then it turns out she didn't make it up.
What?
But I'll start with, I did find the whole thing with 13 people sit down to eat together. Then one of them will die before the year is out.
Oh, God, I'm always the, like, third, fifth, seventh, 13th wheel. I'm going to be that person.
I don't know if it's, like, they didn't say anything about, like, the purse for the first person to rise or anything like that, but
did
yeah,
I ever I did. Tell you about the superstition in Russia where they say if you sit at the corner of a table, you like with the corner pointing at you and you're a single person, you're never going to get married? Every time I tried to sit down, all these old Russian ladies were like, "No, don't do it!" And I was like, "Oh my god, okay."
Wow.
Yeah. Tables are a weird place.
That's funny. So I looked up the black dog thing. And it's very British Isles piece of folklore.
Oh,
but,
interesting.
But yeah, so there is a black dog, and it has different names from all over the Isles, the various British Isles. But it is essentially a nocturnal apparition, and it's said to be associated with the devil or a hellhound.
No.
And its appearance, it was regarded as a portent of death.
Yikes.
No. It's supposed to be larger than a normal dog and often has large glowing eyes.
I don't like that.
I found another. I'm gonna go deep, dive a little bit deeper. But I found this one other bit where sometimes it shows up as a headless dog, and sometimes it's a spectral black dog.
Headless.
Headless. Yeah.
Do you think it's a dog?
Hold up, though.
It's a chupacabra.
Could be.
In this one bit, I found like if you are able to shoot it with a silver bullet, the next time you see it, then the curse will be broken. So,
but wait, if you shoot it, wouldn't it die?
You shoot it, and then the next time you see that same exact dog,
the curse
is broken.
No. So you see it, and then you see it again, but that time you shoot it, then you're cool.
Okay, so he's got to be ready.
I would like to also say that all of this research is done on the internet in about 45 minutes, so.
So it's probably all correct, Michael.
So if I offend anyone, I'm sorry. This is very poorly researched.
I was going to say, do you think that's where the black dog syndrome comes from?
What's black dog syndrome?
That people don't
like
black dogs?
Well, black dogs don't get adopted from... Oh. Shelters as much.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Yeah. So let me continue then.
I guess they can look very. Can look very intimidating.
You look intimidating. They look cuddly. Get out of here.
Black dogs. Okay. Fine.
So in some cases,
I have a black dog friend.
In some cases, the large dog is actually good. But in most cases, it's real bad. But like in some cases, if you're nice to it, then it'll actually protect you and stuff. So I found a bit where in Lancashire, the black hound is called Barquist, Guy Trash, or
Guy Trash.
Guy Trash.
Can you spell that?
G-Y Trash.
Okay.
Trash.
Okay.
Geetra. I don't know. It could also be called Shag Trash. Striker, Whoa. Scriker, or how about these last two, Padfoot or the Grim?
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
That is weird. What an insane coincidence.
And then in Wakefield, Leeds, Pudsey? In some areas of Bradford, the local version is known as Padfoot. And there's a variant of the Padfoot in the heavy woolen area. I don't know what that is. Which is, I guess, Cleckheaton, Batley, Drewsbury, and Heckmondwike. These are can't be real places.
They're definitely not.
Padfoot is viewed as benevolent if you offer it kindness. So if you're nice to it, it's actually nice to you. So I'm wondering if JK had some personal experience with these things.
Oh, probably. She probably did a lot of research.
Right.
Because, like, you know, big scary dog, except sometimes Padfoot's nice.
Interesting.
So there you
right,
go.
Right, and I wonder if maybe she justified it in terms of, like, her characters are British, too, so theoretically, like, they could have known, like, a big black dog is called Padfoot, and so they, like, jokingly called him Padfoot because of, you know.
Right.
That right. They might have nicknamed him that because of it.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, so that's all I came up with from stuff directly from the book.
Nice.
But I thought it was pretty neat.
That's
pretty
neat.
Yeah, So, of course, the most, the one that, oh, actually, you know what, I'll do some more dog stuff, since there is some other dog stuff. She loves dogs.
Doggies!
So often it's thought that, like, dogs have this peculiar sense of approaching trouble.
Yeah.
And, like, in the cases of sickness, they actually know what the outcome is ahead of time. So like if your dog's sad, essentially, like,
holy shit.
You're totally going to die.
So if a dog, well, like if you're sick and the dog is persistently howling under your window,
yikes,
it foreshadows death in your house. So if there's like a dog out your window, like howling all the time,
like uh-oh. Summer.
Uh-oh. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like summer. We're talking about,
I just say, uh-oh.
Okay, I was like, I'm just gonna nod and assume that that's what that means.
Yeah. So, and then there's another bit about howling dogs in a house of an ill person is a bad sign, but a dog howling with its head lowered is an omen of death. So I don't really know what that means.
So this makes sense because this might just be like a worldwide thing. Because
yeah.
I love making Kobe doesn't howl. I've tried a lot of times, but Avon kind of howls. And I think it's hilarious to make him do it, but my mom does not like it.
Really?
It's bad luck. Don't make him do it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I also found another bit that said a dog scratching on the floor is an ominous omen. It doesn't say it was like a death omen, but it said it was an ominous omen. It's like, I'm sorry.
An ominous omen that you're going to have to replace your hardwood floors.
Right.
Or he has found buried treasure.
Yeah. Could be that.
Dig up your floorboards. Hopefully it's not a body. Hopefully it's just some gems.
So obviously there's tons of stuff about black cats. They're real. Yeah. They're bad news. A black cat meowing at midnight is a sure sign of death.
Oh, for Man. Sure.
There's a lot of really like time specific stuff too. So like a black cat crossing. So you got your. There's a lot of things about funeral processions, also, just in general.
Interesting.
Like you, if you see a funeral procession and you don't at least walk with it for four steps, then like some bad shit's gonna happen to you.
Death begets death.
Exactly. But if you're in a funeral procession and a black cat crosses the funeral procession, someone in the family will die within 3 days.
Oh,
3 days.
Three days.
The number three is a big thing, too.
Uh-huh. And railway workers, if they see a black cat cross the tracks at night, then at least one worker will die the next day.
Oh, that's
holy shit.
Yeah, that seems real specific.
But how many, like, That's a pretty high percentage, right? Like, how many people work on a railroad?
Or, two things in this. That sounds, obviously, that's pretty, I mean, it's probably still persists. It's definitely an old-timey sort of... They did not have great safety conditions, and a lot of people worked on the railroad. Your chances, your probability of dying probably was already pretty high. And then if you're already looking for it, like, you're going to trip and fall, or you're going to hear about some guy in four towns over who dies, and you're like, oh my God, that was it. That was the dude. That was it.
Yeah, I think a lot of these are helped a lot by the fact that people back then was dying all the time.
Literally, people were just keeling over.
Like, there's a German superstition that states if a black cat sits on the bed of a sick person, it is a sign they will die. But it's like, I think, like, if people got sick, they died. Like,
that is 100% true.
Like being sick was an omen in itself.
You might talk about this one, and it's not really an omen, but really quickly, this is all this cat talk and death. Am I the only one who's, like, grandma and great-grandma, like, we're like, don't let the cat near the baby, they'll, like, suck out
its breath. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even...
They'll steal his breath. Too.
Yeah, steal his breath. That's so freaky. Why do they? Why do people say that?
Well, also, because, like...
They say that in Nepal, too.
Cats do that, though. Like, they'll get on your chest and they'll be like, I want to smell your breath.
Oh, no. Get out of here, cat.
And they really love, so I don't think this was, from back then, because I don't think they had minty toothpaste, but.
They did.
But cats love mint, and because it's like kind of like catnip. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you brush your teeth, then my old cat would want to, like, climb into my mouth afterwards.
When I brush my teeth.
Yeah, it's kind of
but my yeah my mom my sister when my oldest sister when she had my oldest niece had three cats, and my mom would always be like, don't let the cats in the baby's room, they'll smother the baby or steal its breath.
Yeah. It's weird. And then with cats, there's also, and I'm sure, like I said, sorry to interrupt you, like, you talked about the black dog phenomenon, you know, where people are less likely to adopt black dogs. With black cats, I have a friend who has a black cat, but who worked at an animal shelter, and she said that a lot of animal shelters in places where you can adopt pets in the month of October will not let people adopt black cats, because people will either adopt them because it's like Halloween and then abandon them, or they'll torture them, so they don't as a rule do not let people adopt black cats. A lot of
these shitty people.
That sucks.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
People are shitty.
You're doing this,
please don't
get out of here.
Stop listening to our podcast.
Okay, sorry.
Bats rhyme with cats.
I like that transition.
Yeah. So if a bat flies into your house and then gets away, there will be a death in the family. But if you kill the fucker before it escapes, you're cool.
Okay.
You're totally cool. So if a bat gets in, you gotta do it.
Just better kill it.
Yeah, kill that thing. Kill it dead. And then, so while we're in, so bats are birds. Everyone can agree on that.
Yep.
So I'll now transition to birds.
They're rat birds.
If an owl hoots directly above your head, forget it. Death is sure to come for you.
Jesus.
That seems about right.
Yeah. And then you got crows. Crows are, like, super specific. Make sure you count them when you see them, because
that is a bad for upstate New York, man.
Because there's all sorts of, depending on how many crows there are, you get a very different thing. So one crow, bad luck.
Okay.
Bad luck.
Should I make, like, a key?
Yeah, you should write this down.
Okay.
Two crows, good luck.
Okay.
One crow, bad luck. Two crows, good luck. Three crows means health. Four crows means wealth. It's like it's getting better and better.
Okay, this is good, because this is rhyming. So one, you suck.
Good.
Two, you're in luck. Three, good health. Four, get that wealth. Okay.
Get that wealth.
But You got to cut it off right there, because five means sickness is coming.
Ugh.
And six means death is nearby.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, five, ill, six, get your will. Like, I mean, come on, guys. Okay.
There you go.
I'm ready.
We used to do this in the school in Nepal. We went, I can't remember if it was crows or a different black bird. But it wasn't like that dark, but we also had like a system from 1 to 13 of them. And I remember one being bad luck, but I don't remember the rest of it. But it's interesting that it's still like similar, so far away.
I got pooped on by a crow once. Apparently that's good luck, though.
Yeah, getting pooped on is good luck for sure. Also, just generally, if a bird flies in your house, that's real bad.
That's bad luck for everyone.
Yeah,
there's bird in your house.
There's a magpie staring at you. That's bad.
Yeah. They're big.
There's no way to escape your fate if a magpie is looking at you when you open your door in the morning.
That does not shock
me. What if you stare at it, hold your stare, and, like, kill it?
Bajaya, listen to me. There is no way for you to escape your fate.
But I want to live.
Do you know how, like, some animals, you look at them and you're like, you are creepily, like, present in your body? I don't know. There's some animals who seem very self-aware. Magpies, if you've ever seen one, they are so large that they seem very, like, ethereal and crazy creepy. So I could totally see, like, an old-timey Victorian person being like, nope, this is fucked up. I'm dead. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Bye.
So we've talked about
a lot. When you look up magpie, the second search thing that comes up is magpie training, which I will want to look at later.
Don't do it. If it looks at you, you're dead.
It has to be outside of your front door.
Yeah, it has to be like a wild one staring at you when you walk out your door. So we've talked about lots of like black cats, black dogs, bats and crows are all black. There's white stuff is bad too, believe it or not.
Good.
That is not shocking news to me these days.
So a white rabbit crossing your path.
When does that ever happen?
I'm just saying, a white rabbit crosses your path, that's bad luck.
But if you cut off its foot, it's good luck.
And then if you see two white rabbits together, which is even more impossible, unless you're like at a pet store, then that means death in the family is coming.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Now, if you dream of a white horse,
then
you will hear of death before the week is over. And again...
That's very vague.
And again...
Everybody died back in the day, so...
Yeah.
That was going to happen.
It's basically like any animal someone saw, they were just like, oh, did you hear about Michael? He saw a white rabbit the week before he died. You know what that means.
It's true.
You know what that means. Swarming bees is bad. If there's bees swarming on a tree in your property, someone's going to die.
Probably someone who's allergic to bees.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen My Girl? Oh, God.
Oh, why'd you bring it up? Still not over that movie.
Now, from here on out, it gets stupider and stupider. So,
or more accurate, Michael.
So, never plant a cedar tree in your yard. Just don't do it. Like, it could be fine, but if you plant a cedar tree,
you could die.
And it dies in your yard, then a member of your family will die.
Oh my God.
Also,
if you have like soil pollution or something.
Also, if you're like, shit, I already planted a cedar tree. I'm going to move it so that it doesn't die in my yard. That does not help you. You can't do that.
Wait, does moving it cause the bad luck, or does moving it and then dying in the other place cause the bad luck?
No, if you move a cedar tree at all, once the lower limbs grow to the length of a coffin, you're dead.
Oh my God, what the fuck?
I think actually you guys are okay because it says to the man who moves a cedar tree. So
oh, good. Good to be a woman.
Only dudes. Here's a couple of dumb ones, blah blah blah.
That's
don't trip in a graveyard.
Well, yeah. Did you guys ever do when you were younger the thing where you, when you pass a graveyard and
hold your breath,
you have to hold your breath?
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Cuz otherwise you'll die. Yeah.
opening an umbrella is bad, but if you hold it over your head, you're going to die.
Wait, so don't do that. Just in general?
Inside. I'm sorry. Opening an umbrella inside is bad luck.
I was like,
but if you also hold it over your head.
Basically, Michael's saying, don't breathe. You'll die. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
You'll die. Don't look
definitely
at an animal.
Do not interact with
you'll
any
die.
Animals.
Solar eclipses. That's not surprising that people are freaked out by those. Yeah, although a lot of cultures think that like it's the sun getting eaten.
Oh.
Like in Vietnam, it's a giant frog eats the sun.
Oh my god.
Vikings think wolves gobble down the sun. China, a celestial dragon eats the sun. So a lot of people eating the sun.
Trump thinks okay, this one is actually the sun.
I'm going to swing back into stupid ones, but this last one is bad.
Okay.
In that it could really freak you out. So there's these things called Death Watch beetles.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh.
Right? So they damage.
Oh, Death Watch beetle sounds like either a wrestler or a superhero.
I was going to say, it sounds like a really, like a alternate Beatles tribute group.
I was gonna
like
say
that death metal.
I really like Death Watch Beatles' first album, but their sophomore album was just
not so good.
Shit.
Sold out.
So sorry. So they're a pest that's known for damaging wooden furniture and wooden structures. But here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing that there's nothing actually bad about. Well, I mean, they're bugs, so they're
and
terrible.
And they ruin your furniture.
So here's the thing they do. During mating season.
Oh, God, don't like it already.
It's not that bad. It's just creepy. So they make tapping or ticking sounds by hitting their head against the wood to attract their mates. So the sound is heard quite clearly on quiet nights in old houses.
Oh,
just hearing this tapping sound.
So it's just like your life clock ticking until you die.
I don't
right.
like that.
So this article said, over time, this sound became associated with sleepless nights that people spend beside a dying or dead person.
I don't like that.
Yeah. See, that would be upsetting. Tick-tock. Just like something's just clicking endlessly. Okay. So there's that. That's the worst one. Let's clear our palate with some really dumb ones.
Yay! Dumb shit.
If you see your shadow without a head on New Year's Eve, then that means you'll die that year.
Okay, if I saw my shadow without a head ever, I would.
I think
not
you'd already
be
dead.
Yeah.
Die of shock.
If a rainbow bends over your house, a death will occur inside. I'm sorry, if a rainbow bends over your house. Like, that's awesome.
That means a pot of gold is near.
Right?
It's not
can't
your
be
house,
bad.
Though.
There's one as a shark following a boat or ship is looked on as a sure sign that one of the passengers or crew will die. Like,
yeah,
of course.
Eaten by that shark.
The shark is going to eat, like, doy. Like, that's not a... That's a direct threat. And then the last one, if a meteor falls in a house, someone inside will die. Like, yeah, of course.
Yes,
like,
it really they will that. Die.
Yes, that was a real one I found.
If like, a boulder
yeah, from
falls
meteor,
on you,
thanks,
you will
thanks,
die.
Thanks, Donnie Darko. I couldn't rule out of myself. Oh, my God.
If you get hit by a car, that's a ominous sign that your death is
yeah.
near.
Is near. Yeah, guys, if you get chased by a grizzly bear, it means bad luck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My great grandma used to, and speaking of like old people superstitions, but like my great grandma used to, and I still do it. I can't not do it. If you spill salt, you have to throw it over your shoulder because it's supposed to blind the devil who's over your shoulder now that you've spilled salt. That's what they say. Like, I think it has to do with like Judas or something like that, but like, It's supposed That's to be hilarious. Like, it means that like, if you spill the salt, the devil is behind you. You have to like blind it.
One thing that I still do is if you take off, like if you are around shoes and one of them is flipped the upside down, that's supposed to be bad luck. And I'll be like, that shoe is flipped upside down. That's dumb. It's nothing. But then I'll be like, all right.
I'll just flip it.
It doesn't take that long.
No, it's so funny because like, like Michael, before he's getting on the plane, like, I'm totally a rational person, but there are some superstitions where I just think, I am not going to risk it. It's too easy. It's too easy to do that thing.
It's easy to correct it than be bothered by it, you know?
Because, like, what if I was getting on the plane and it was covered with bees? Then I'd be like, oh, no, this plane's going to crash.
Yeah, and I am never planting a cedar tree ever again.
Why would you?
No, you can. You can because you're not a dude. Well,
I'm not risking it. I don't know.
If I plant a cedar tree and then we're worried about it, then you can move it, but I won't.
Right. But I could still plant it and it would die and that'd be bad.
Right.
I'm going to count every single crow I see. I don't know what happens.
What if you see 1,000 of them? Because in upstate New York.
That's what I was saying. Upstate New York, it's so, like, there are so many crows they have to fire. They literally fire, like, they fire flares into them to get them to scatter because there's so many.
Jesus Christ, why do y'all have so many crows?
It's like when that, because it happens.
It's literally an infestation. I forgot what the actual reason for it is.
It's like, and it's only a few weeks of the year or whatever.
But it's literally like, it's like the birds. That's not an exaggeration.
It's alarming.
I would be walking through school and all of the trees are just black because it's just birds everywhere all
And they're just
over
cawing
it.
At you like, yeah,
it's really loud.
Super freaky.
Like and at the local grocery store, they always have fake owls, which a lot of places do, but they have a really weird noise that they play so that birds stay away from like the grocery store on the top of the grocery store because there's so many of them. They're
Jesus.
Terrifying.
New York, you crazy.
Crazy.
Thanks for the bad
one,
omen.
You suck. Oh. Two, good luck. Three,
you have good health. Four, health. You have wealth.
Get that wealth. Yeah. Five, you. No, wait. Five was not you survive. Five was staying alive. Six was some will and ill. Oh no, five is you get ill. Six, write that will because you're gonna die.
Yes.
Oh there shit.
You go. Got it.
Got it, guys.
Thanks
We're ready.
For that rhyme. Sarah, and thank you, Michael, for
scaring all of us
and making us
You're welcome.
Our house ever again.
No problem.
Awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Stay alive.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.